Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, and we have a few announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not be having benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. We're on our summer schedule, so that we won't be having benediction for the upcoming Sundays. And there are a number of dishes and utensils in the classroom after Mass today from those who made food for us, so you can pick those up. And we want to thank you for those who help us in that regard. If you recall, maybe about 6 months ago, we used to have a small bookcase with books and pamphlets and booklets for sale. And we had an honor system where you just choose the book you want and pay the amount inside the book, write it down on the sheet there, and then put the money in the box there with the on top of that bookcase. And so when we did the remodeling, many of you may know this, but we had to move that to the classroom. So it has been restocked, and it's the same system, and you can go there and check out, look at books, and purchase them if you wish, after Mass or any time. And we want to make sure that you make use of this, especially if you don't have very many spiritual books or you want to find some new titles. And two that we are recommending at this time are My Daily Psalm Book, which was put out maybe 60 years ago by the Confraternity of the Precious Blood. Small book that has beautiful illustrations and all the 150 psalms. And it has good to read every day, following the spirit of the church, what the priests and religious do with the divine office. And then there is a new booklet called How to Converse with God. And that was a booklet composed or written by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And it's very beautiful, as you know. His works are full of unction and devotion, but they're very practical. So that also is there, How to Converse with God. The feasts this week are today is the feast of St. Irenaeus, the great bishop and martyr of the early church. He was a disciple of St. Polycarp, and St. Polycarp was a disciple of St. John the Evangelist. So St. Irenaeus lived in a very, very close to the apostolic time, and he was bishop of Lyon, which is the city in central France. What a heritage that city. I've actually been there, and to have St. Irenaeus as your first bishop. Tuesday, St. Anthony Mary Zechariah. Wednesday, St. Maria Goretti. Most of you may know her story. We have a picture of her in the Blessed Mother Shrine here. And she was the beautiful example, is the beautiful example of a virgin and a martyr who died to preserve her virginity when she was being attacked. This man tried to molest her and rape her, and she was protected by God and died before this man could do this. And this was approximately 100 years ago. Very beautiful saint. And we mentioned a few years ago, more in detail, we don't have the time today to explain the whole story of her life, but what is very important is two qualities or two aspects. One is the man who was this St. Maria Goretti lived in a rural farming community in Italy. And there was a farmhand, an older young man, who was attracted to her, and he was the perpetrator of this crime because he lusted after her. Well, when he was trying to attack her and violate her, instead, because of her resisting him in this terrible act, he murdered her, and that's why she's a martyr. Later on at the trial, because he was arrested and he explained, not as an excuse, but as a cause or a reason why he was guilty of this crime. And he said, because what I started falling into sins of impurity, it started with pornography. Because in those days, even the earlier days of photography, there were people who would spread this filth. And so he became addicted to it, a slave of it, of this evil, and that's what led to this. And we see these types of crimes happening all the time, because it is a horrible scourge on the world. God permits this evil in his own design, but it's a punishment. You know, sin is a punishment for sin. And this pornography industry is gigantic, especially on the internet. It's a great danger for everybody, men and women, boys and girls. And here we have this saint who we can ask for intercession to pray for us that we may not fall into sin, any sin, but especially sins of impurity. Thursday, July 7th, the feast of the two great bishops, St. Cyril and Methodius. Briefly, they lived in about the 9th century, so over 1,000 years ago. And they were given this mission, this job, to go to some very primitive areas of Eastern Europe, Bulgaria, Moravia, Bohemia, very primitive people. All people are uncivilized and primitive until, for the most part, the Catholic Church brought civilization to them, as you've heard before, as our Father Superiors mentioned. Well, my ancestors come from Bohemia and Slovakia, and so I have no claim to fame, but these two saints changed all that because he brought the true faith. And they were so backward that they could not even learn Latin for their liturgy. So the Pope didn't really approve, but he tolerated the request of these two saints that they be allowed to use their own vulgar tongue, meaning the native tongue, for their liturgy, for the Mass, because they just could not learn the Latin. And what is interesting is that language, it's used even today in some Eastern rites, and it has become a sacred language because it stayed the same, whereas the speech, the language of the people kept developing and changing. And that, the reason I say that is because that is why we use Latin in the church. From the very beginning, from the time of the apostles, there was Latin, Greek, and Aramaic. Aramaic was the dialect of the Hebrews that was used by our Lord. But there are many Greeks and many Romans. People spoke those languages too. Well, over the years, after our Lord ascended into heaven, Latin became the predominant language. And it became, for 99% of Catholics of the church, the sacred language for the liturgy, because it was a static language, meaning it did not change. Whereas all the other languages over the centuries of Europe and around the world kept developing, and they are not safe to use for the liturgy. That's why the church always has Latin. Friday, July 8th, St. Elizabeth, Queen of Portugal, and then Saturday, two saints. They're not on the universal calendar, but they are important to mention. St. Thomas More, the martyr who was murdered by King Henry VIII. He was Chancellor of England. And he would not compromise with the king, with the government, over his taking over the church in England in the mid-1500s. There are only a few bishops and many priests, but the majority of bishops sided with the king. They caved in. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 to 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. When our Lord was telling the people this sermon, his disciples, remember, just as a side point, when our Lord preached, it was first to the apostles, then to the disciples, the followers who were second to the apostles, who were totally committed to our Lord and listened to him, and then to the rest of the crowd. And then to his enemies, who often followed him and heckled him while he was speaking, if you can believe that. The Son of God is preaching and speaking, and they are saying nasty and blasphemous remarks while he's preaching. Have you heard of the fruits of the Holy Ghost? I'm sure most of you have, but just as a reminder of what they are. We know when we're baptized, we have the Son of God, along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, in our souls, indwelling of the Holy Trinity. You can read more about that in the latter chapters of St. John's Gospel, that they live within us when we live a righteous life and we're baptized. We get also with sanctifying grace the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And that faith is a gift. Divine life is a gift, but it's called the gift of faith. And the faith of Catholics, of true Christians, is not the faith of the Protestants. Because our faith is believing because God said so. And believing everything he taught by his preaching, which is passed down by the apostles through sacred tradition, and everything our Lord taught in the Gospels, in the Bible, by the Word and by the written Word. They don't believe that. For many of them, their faith will end in destruction because our Lord, as I just read to you, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. How many people invoke the name of God in vain? You know the two basic groups that do that, who say the name of God, the name of Jesus even, in vain. They say the name of Jesus. They say they believe. They trust in God. But inside, their heart is twisted or conflicted or evil. Because they don't really have a true heart dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. They hate the Catholic Church. They hate the Holy Eucharist. They criticize and demean the Blessed Mother, the Mother of God. They cannot stand praying to the saints. They cannot even accept the very literal words of our Lord when he said to the apostles, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. He's talking to them, to the apostles. For 1,500 years, every Christian believed that that was the sacrament of penance. And then some nobodies, like Martin Luther and a few other malcontents, start changing things. And you have all these millions of people following heretics. And why do they follow them? Because they are not humble. They don't want to tell the priest their sins. They don't want to tell God their sins. They say, I will tell God that I'm sorry in my own way. Not the way Jesus said, not the way the church said, not the way the apostles said. I'll do it my own way. And that leads to their destruction. So that is the first type of person who says, Lord, Lord, and they will not enter the kingdom of heaven, even though they call upon the name of the Lord. Because it's a heart of pride and arrogance and being self-righteous. And so God resists the proud, as St. Paul says. Because they're not doing the will of God the Father. Our Lord does the will of his Father. God the Father exercises his will through his Son and his church, which he founded on the rock of St. Peter. He said to Simon, "You are Peter, and upon this rock," meaning you, because the word Peter means rock, "I will build my church," that is the Catholic Church. Now, who is the second type of person who says, "Lord, Lord," but will not enter the kingdom of heaven? Those are the people that can be outwardly very religious. Maybe very many Catholics who may say their prayers, but they're not doing the will of God the Father in heaven, because they have a secret attachment to their own will, which can lead to utter destruction, because so often a person who will not give up a habit of sin, a vice, that's what a vice is, they may say, "Lord, Lord," they may even express some sorrow or regret sometimes, but they're still attached and have a secret love of whatever this vice is. And there are cases, written accounts from some centuries ago, of sinners who, at the last moment, when the priest came to them, even though they may express remorse or regret for what they've done, they are not sorry. And the reason is because they have for so many years lived in this slavery to evil and sin willingly, that at the last moments they can't say they're sorry with humility and sincerity. Best example of that is Judas. He was with our Lord for 3 years. 3 years. Saw all the miracles, virtually all of them. Heard him preach. Witnessed his great virtues of charity and love and kindness to everyone. Saw him rebuke his enemies when our Lord overturned the tables in the temple when they were abusing God's church. And here this man secretly was stealing money from the apostolic bursts. He was taking money and he was plotting to have our Lord arrested for 30 pieces of silver, because he wanted an earthly kingdom. And when he found out the last few weeks that our Lord was not intending to set up an earthly kingdom right then, but that he would suffer and die, Judas's personal plans went out the window. So he thought, "I've got to get something out of this, so I'm going to get some money and just turn our Lord over to be arrested." And our Lord, at that very last moment, he says, "You betray the Son of Man with a kiss. You, an act of friendship, sign of friendship, you use that to betray me." And our Lord was offering him another grace to stop what he was doing, but he would not. So as I was saying a moment ago, there are these sinners who, in front of the priests and relatives who saw this, they die a horrible death because they can't say they're sorry. And the reason we say that is because the way we get to heaven is by degrees. We cannot put off working for our salvation. "Well, I'll start that book next, that spiritual book next week, or I'm very busy. I've got a lot of things to do, and I just can't get that done. And so the priority list goes upside down. And praying and spiritual reading and assistance at Mass, especially daily Mass, and receiving the sacraments goes down and down and down until the guilt of a person, their conscience, which is that beautiful quality we all have that God gave us to know right from wrong. Animals don't have that. Now they have, in a sense, they know when they're in trouble. If anyone has a cat or dog and you get after it, it knows it's in trouble, just by your voice. But they don't know right from wrong. We do. The reason our Lord gave us a conscience is so we can rid ourselves of evil. So our conscience becomes dulled if we don't say we're sorry and go to confession. And incidentally, we want to just mention this one point because sometimes there's confusion about this. As you know, there are 6 commandments of the church. And the third one is, and this is out of the catechism in the form of a question and answer. What is meant by the commandment to confess our sins at least once a year? By the commandment to confess our sins at least once a year is meant that we are strictly obliged to make a good confession within the year if we have a mortal sin to confess. That means, strictly speaking, the law is if a person has only venial sins, he does not have to go to confession once a year. Penance is primarily for mortal sins. That's why our Lord created it. But it is extremely beneficial in removing venial sins and for sanctification. The commandment was given by the church as the bare minimum. That's why frequent confession is greatly encouraged. That's what the saints did. The absolution the priest gives in the confessional does far more good for a soul in leading them to heaven and conversion than anything else second to the Holy Eucharist. In fact, it leads the soul to the Holy Eucharist. But back to the fruits. Finally, because our Lord said, by their fruits you will know them. When we are in the state of grace, we also have the virtues of humility and patience and fortitude, chastity, temperance, according to our state in life. But after, when we're living on that level of leading a holy life, practicing these virtues, the fruit of that, in other words, the result of that, is that we can practice or we have the enjoyment of the 12 fruits, which I'll read. And the definition goes like this. Fruits of the Holy Ghost are good works performed under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with a certain delight. What it comes down to is life is much more enjoyable and pleasurable because you're doing everything for God, even in difficulties or persecution. So charity, joy, peace, and patience. Those are the first 4. You have peace of soul. You can be patient. Benignity, which is kindness, goodness, as opposed to evil. Long-suffering, which is, we can call it extended patience. When someone has a cross that they have to carry for many years, that's long-suffering, and they're able to carry that cross. Mildness, which is gentleness. And the last four, faith, modesty, continency, and chastity. Modesty protects purity. Continency restrains the will from consenting to strong movements of desires of the flesh. And chastity excludes those, completely those movements of the flesh, according to one's state in life. So, our final word will be this. As we said a few days ago, I love to read, as you should all have your missals, I hope you do, so you're not distracted, this beautiful collect. O God, whose providence never fails in what it ordains, we humbly beseech you to put away from us all things harmful and to give all things profitable to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless you.